Let's now turn to our scripture reading for this afternoon, and that is from the first letter of John, and it's the first chapter. First letter of John, in case you have difficulty finding it, it is on page 1081. One John, 1 verse 1. Hear the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now the text is verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are various reasons why people write letters, of course. Some letters are written only for the purpose of information, but a mother can also write to her daughter to let her know how things are going with her. But in the same letter, the mother may also express her concern about her daughter's health. Are you properly looking after yourself? Make sure that you get decent meals. A mother can write that because she's the girl's mother. The girl might not have taken it from somebody else. Then she might have called it meddling. Well, the first letter of John is like a letter from a mother to her daughter. And in it, John gives a lot of information about the Lord God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, and the apostle expresses a real concern for those to whom he is writing. And his concern is above all that these believers may have fellowship with him and with his church. And this we find expressed in the text at this time. And there John writes that he and his fellow apostles in this letter proclaim that which they have seen and heard. Now, what have they seen and heard? And it even says, have touched with our hands. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have seen Him. They have heard Him. They have also touched Him. And so he says that you may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The concern of the Apostle John is that those to whom he writes this letter may come to have this fellowship with God the Father and His Son, like he, John, and his people have this fellowship with God. Well, who are those people to whom John writes this letter? Are these people believers? Well, we do not find an address at the beginning of this letter, but we do find these people spoken to in various ways further on. In 2 verse 1, John addresses them as my little children. So it gives me the impression that John must have been pretty old, although I've never called you my little children. And then he says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And then in 2:13, I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. And again in 2:20, John says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And then from these few samples, it's clear, pretty clear, that John is writing to believers. Here's a last sample. I have written unto you, young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And clearly, the concern of the apostle is not that these people may come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, his concern is that these believers may have fellowship with him and his church. And that's the overall theme of this letter. John's concern is not that, is that not even one believer will stray from the fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and his fellowship. And that means ultimately falling away from the living God. It's a deep concern of John that this may not happen to his beloved little children. And that's always a concern. We rejoice in Carol and Randy making confession of faith, just as we rejoice every year when the regular class, you could say, makes confession of faith. And that's always a joy, but then there is also always the concern that this may not happen, that they would fall away. And therefore, the gospel comes to you at this time under this theme. Outside the apostolic fellowship, there is no salvation. And we first look at the importance of the apostolic fellowship, and then at the deceivers, and thirdly at testing the spirits, and fourthly at testing our own spirits. First, the importance of the apostolic fellowship. John must think it very important that the believers to whom he writes have fellowship with him and his group. Now, what really is meant by fellowship? What do you think of when you hear the word fellowship? Well, many people would think of being together and visiting with one another. It may happen after a meeting, that any kind of meeting, that people stay around and visit with each other, have a cup of coffee. It may be after a Bible study. It may be after the worship service. It may be during lunch hour at the factory. A fellowship for many people means friendly relationship, companionship, camaraderie. Fellowship can happen anywhere where a group of people are together. But one thing has to be there for fellowship to be possible. There must be something which all these people have in common. People who have fellowship, they may not agree on everything. And such people may have their differences. But there must always be one thing that they have in common. And that one thing must make all other things less important. Take, for instance, a township community. Actually, I'm thinking now 50, 60 years back when the townships had their own little township hall and the people would get together and so. What they have in common is that They all live in that same area. And there were lots more farms than all the 100-acre farms. And then that's what ties them together. Now, they may vote for different political parties, but that doesn't separate them. Why? Because their political differences are less important than their bond of living in the same area. They may attend different churches, but again, the religious differences are less important than that what they share by living in the same area. Their fellowship as a community is more important to them than the religious or political or other differences. In order for people to have fellowship, they must have something in common, something that is more important than anything else. In order for people to be part of a fellowship, they will all have to agree with what is most important for the people to make up that fellowship. If a township community has its 150th anniversary and includes a community church service in which all religions in the township participate, then also the Mormons, then people have to make a choice. What's more important? The township community or my particular Christian convictions? If the township community is more important to me than the religious differences with other people, then it will not matter so much to me, those religious differences, and not, at least not enough to keep me away. But if I refuse to deny my faith conviction, then I will have to put my religious convictions above the township community. And then I can only participate in a fellowship whose religious convictions do not go against mine. Now, John is writing in the text, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." So what is for John at the center of this fellowship? Well, that which he and the others with him have seen and heard. And what have they seen and heard? The Lord Jesus Christ, that is exactly that which they are proclaiming to everyone. We know that that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John in his letter spells it out once more what the gospel is. The center for John's fellowship is what John and the others have seen and heard. John does not just pass on something of which he has no personal knowledge. He does not pass on some hearsay. No, John himself has been there. He has been a personal witness to what the Lord Jesus did and what the Lord Jesus taught. And so, what then is at the center of John's fellowship? John's apostolic witness. When you read that letter, you read a letter of somebody who was there. I've never seen the Lord Jesus. I've never heard him speak. But here is somebody who heard him speak, who saw him, who touched him, who ate with him. We have a personal witness here. We have apostolic witness here. And what John now in fact is saying is this: everyone who agrees with our apostolic witness has fellowship with us. It doesn't matter if you have a totally different racial background. As long as you fully agree with our gospel proclamation, says John, you do have fellowship with us. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, a craftsman, a farmer, a white-collar worker, whatever, as long as you totally agree with our gospel proclamation, you do have fellowship with us. At the heart of our fellowship is our apostolic witness. And those who disagree with us, says John, have no fellowship with us. They do not share with us. They are not part of us. It's clear that this is very serious business. That John is very serious about this, we read in 1 John 2:19. There John speaks about people who have left his apostolic fellowship. Why did those people leave? Well, writes John, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So it is the apostolic witness which binds people together. And it's only those who hold to the full apostolic witness that who have fellowship with the apostles. Well, how important is it then to be part of the fellowship of the apostles? John tells us in the text, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, John declares, we are part of God's fellowship. We share in his grace and in all the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are children of our Heavenly Father. Sometimes people are scared to say that. Aren't we presumptuous? Aren't we saying too much? But John says, if you hold on to our fellowship and accept the apostolic witness, then we are children, you are children with us of our Heavenly Father. You are part of God's people. And when are we part of John's fellowship? Well, when we put his apostolic witness centrally in our lives. We are part of the fellowship of the apostles even today. It seems so far away, the 12 apostles and so on. They seem so out of this world as far as we are concerned. But we are part of the fellowship of the apostles even today when we hold the apostolic witness to be the most important thing in our lives. And when we do, we can be sure that we have fellowship with the Lord God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, being part of the fellowship of John and the apostles is a matter of life and death. That is, a matter of eternal life and of eternal death. And this is extremely important. It's really all that matters. Township, community, political party, racial background, economic differences, whatever we may have in common with other people is always way less important. What comes first and foremost is the apostolic witness and the apostolic fellowship. For if we do not share in the apostolic fellowship, we have no fellowship with God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ either, which means we have no salvation. And that brings us secondly to the deceivers. Why is John so concerned that people will have fellowship with him and his church? Because there are deceivers among the Christian people, teachers, preachers, who deceive the people. They are saying, we do not agree with all of John's teachings, but we nevertheless have also fellowship with the Lord God. We also are a true church. And what these people are saying is this: you can have fellowship with God the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ even when you do not agree with the teachings of the apostles. We have one of these people that writes from time to time an editorial in the London Free Press. You may have come across him. It's the Reverend Dr. Tom Harper. And he says, this is the way. The others, well, he has questions. So, deceivers, how do we handle this? Well, think for a moment back to the beginning of the Christian church, right after Pentecost, right after the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's church. And what do we read in Acts 2, verse 42? This: and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread, and in prayers. And then the whole church was part of the apostles' fellowship. In Acts 5, verse 12, we are told that the believers, and I quote, were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, that's part of the big temple complex. In those days, no one would ever have thought of going off by their own little group and say, we also have fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we don't agree in everything with those apostles. In those days, that was simply impossible for that to happen. Nobody would ever think about that. But Scripture teaches it even more about this fellowship of the apostles. In Acts 5, verse 11, we're taught, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." What was the fellowship of the apostles called? It was called the church. And what this means in connection with the text? Well, this, that John is really writing, "What we have heard and what have seen, we proclaim to you that you may belong to our church." Now, he's not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about that. He's talking about the body of Christ, the church. And our church, he says, is the church of God the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. John is actually saying, only those who hold on to the apostolic witness are members of the church of Christ. That's what he's saying. Well, what then about those people who were saying, we do not agree with the apostles, but we still have fellowship with the Father and his Son? And what about those who even today are saying, we don't agree with the apostolic witness, but we nevertheless are also the church of Christ? Well, we have to conclude that they are deceiving both themselves and also those who believe them. One of our confessions, the Belgian Confession, declares that there are many sects in the world. Now, sect, you know, for coffee, I had a sect. I had a piece of pie like that. That's a section. And you see, a sect, when you talk about religiously, is really not the whole pie that you get. You get only a little piece of it, and that's what they focus on. But the rest of the pie is missing. And so that's what the Belgian Confession is talking about. There are many sects in this world who claim for themselves the name of church, who claim for themselves to be the whole church and having fellowship with God. But the confession tells us not to believe them. We believe that we ought to discern diligently and very carefully from the Word of God what is the true church. That's what the confession teaches us. And we have either had fellowship with the apostles and thus with the Lord, or we are straying away from our Savior. And that's why John warns the believers for the deceivers, those who try to drag us away from the fellowship of the apostles, from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one church, and that is the church where the apostolic witness is being maintained. Once again, I'm not talking about the denominations. I'm not talking about that this church would be the one true church. I'm talking about the church as the body of Christ, where the apostolic witness is being maintained. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Instead, we should confess our sins, and the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sins. Some taught that believers never sinned anymore. They were holy. They couldn't be accused with sinning. There are churches who will declare certain people in their midst holy. And by a board decision, this person is holy. So Mrs. Finneston and I, when I was a student, we were sent to other churches to see how the Sunday school program worked. And we were sent to a holiness church in Grand Rapids. And we went there, and there was quite a kerfuffle there, because one of the Sunday school teachers had been touching young girls. And the girls had complained, and the parents had come to complain to the board, and the board said, no, that's impossible, because that man is holy, so he cannot sin. That's where you get into. With holiness churches, that is possible. And so others thought that The Lord Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. It was just an apparition. And so he came into the Lord Jesus at baptism and he left before the cross. And this is the way it went with the deceivers. And then John tells his little children, I write this to you who about those who would seduce you. In other words, all through this letter, John is exposing false teaching. He is exposing teaching which would drag believers away from the fellowship, from the church of the apostles. And thus these believers would be dragged away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus from the Savior. And outside the apostolic fellowship, there is no salvation. Who are these deceivers? Well, they are, like I said, elders, ministers, teachers in Christendom. They are teaching what they think to be the truth. Or maybe even better, they are teaching what their mind can accept as the truth. Have you ever had that? That you say, I like to believe that, but my mind says that doesn't work. Well, you see, there you have a struggle sometimes between what the apostolic witness says and what I would say your unbelieving mind says. And then you have to yield to this is the apostolic witness. This is what the apostle John says. This is what he heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is more important? What I think or what the apostolic witness says? So, it doesn't mean, of course, that everything they teach is lies. It's always a mixture of truth and lie. And, you know, sometimes it can taste pretty good. I mean, you can have a plate with food, and somebody can say there is poison in it. It can still taste good with the poison in it, but it'll kill you, even though it tastes good and it looks good. So, the apostolic witness. And so, those who teach and spread those things, they are leading the people which follow them away from the apostolic fellowship, away from the church, away from the fellowship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and thus away from salvation. They are the deceivers of the worst kind. You can better have to do with an atheist. Well, that brings to testing the spirits. How may we know what is the right teaching then? Well, John tells us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us. In other words, we must hold to the apostolic witness, be faithful to the apostolic teaching. When we do that, then we may know that we are there where the Lord Jesus Christ is being worshipped and served. And that's what John makes clear at the end of his letter in 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John wants to make sure that the faith of these believers is the true faith, is the true teaching. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as He is revealed to us in the apostolic witness, then we have eternal life. And whether we feel it or not, then we do have eternal life when we hold on to the apostolic witness. But how can you tell the true teachers apart from the deceivers? Well, by making sure that you know the apostolic witness. And that means know the scriptures. Know the scriptures, and then you will not be deceived by the kinds of false teachers. When somebody says something, you should be able to say, well, let's go to the Word of God and see what it says. Don't always follow the minister on the pulpit. You know, we have Bibles in the pew for a reason, that you can follow what is being taught and see whether it is truly biblical or not. And at night, you know, lay your smartphone away and turn off your television and open the scriptures and spend some time in the scriptures regularly, that you know what the scripture says. and that you can hear it say, this does not sound right to me. We have to know the scriptures if we are not to be deceived by all kinds of false teachers. Now that word false may sound really harsh and judgmental, but do not forget what the result of false teaching is. Loss of eternal salvation. Outside of the apostolic fellowship, there is no salvation. False teaching is not the truth. It's the lie. Now, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. But the lie is from Satan. And these are big words, but they are the truth. And the deceivers are saying, through our teaching, you will also have fellowship with God. They are misleading the people, just as the devil managed to fool Adam and Eve. But the truth is that those who stray from the apostolic teaching are straying from the truth, and therewith from the Lord Jesus Christ and from His church and from eternal salvation. And those who stray from the apostolic teaching are following the evil one, just as Adam and Eve did. And since John wrote his letter, there have been many deceivers. Every century again, time and again, the church of the Lord Jesus has been called upon to determine once again precisely what is the truth of the apostolic witness and what is the teaching that deceives. And the results of those struggles with the truth, they have been written down in various confessions. There's the Apostles' Creed. There is the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, out of the first four centuries of the church. But during the 1500s, the church had slid back so far that a reformation came about. And out of that reformation, the churches received three confessions. Actually, later on, another three. But there was the Belgic Confession of Faith, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, and then 100 years later in England, they got the shorter catechism and the larger catechism and the Westminster Confession of Faith. And the churches of the Reformation have always confessed that the apostolic witness is faithfully summed up in these confessions out of the time of the Reformation. And therefore, we teach unashamedly that those who desire fellowship with the apostles are to receive the full word of God, as found in the scripture, as summed up in the three articles of unity. And that's the kind of church you have joined, Carol and Randy, and where we try to do that. We're not perfect, but we welcome you to stand with us for the truth. And that's why, as congregation, we seek to be totally faithful to God's word, the Holy Scriptures, to the three confessions, which truthfully summarize the apostolic witness. And therefore, we also proclaim without hesitation that all those who by faith embrace the teachings of Scripture as found in the three confessions have fellowship with the Apostle John and the other apostles. And therefore, those who confess the Reformed faith have fellowship with the Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ. And that is our only comfort. That's your only comfort also, Maurice. And that's your only comfort, congregation. Let no one deceive you. The concern of the Apostle John was that those who knew the truth in Jesus Christ would nevertheless be deceived by other teachers and so be dragged away from the apostolic fellowship. And that concern is always there, also today. And so we have to watch over that and be careful for that. Now, how do we test now our own spirits? That's the final point to be considered. How do I know that what I believe is really, truly in agreement with the apostolic teaching? Is it fully determined by me underwriting the confessions? In other words, is it completely a matter of my mind? Is it a propositional thing? You might even say, is it a cold consideration without my heart being involved? Well, That would go against the understanding of what is meant by the word fellowship. The heart is to be involved. There must be an embracing of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a surrender to Him. And where there is true fellowship, there is the experience of a loving union with fellow believers. And so the question is also, do I feel at home with my fellow church members? Not because we come from the same place, and not because we are of the same age or we have the same income, but because we sense in each other the same experience of sin, of struggle with sin, and the same desire for deliverance, and the same hope for a future kingdom, and the same longing for being totally cleansed from sin and unrighteousness within us, and the same wanting to be renewed, and the same hope to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of God the Father. That really makes for true fellowship, where we recognize each other as brothers and sisters in the faith, children of the same Father in heaven. And then there will be a warmth and a unity and an ability to share with each other, because then I know what the other is talking about, and the other knows what I am talking about without me having to explain and explain and explain, and they still don't get it. Of course, when I have true fellowship in the faith with one, then he gets it with half a word. Of course, this kind of fellowship is also possible, you can argue, among those who follow a different teacher or philosophy. And that's why the closeness of the fellowship by itself does not guarantee that it is truly the apostolic fellowship. And that is why we cannot let go of the scriptures and the confessions. And so the test for ourselves is whether we have this true intimate fellowship in the faith while remaining true to the scriptures and the confessions. And if it happens, then I cannot have true fellowship in that way in the place where I worship. Then I must ask, who or what is the cause of this failure? Am I the cause? Is my faith not in line with the confessions? Or is my faith really too ignorant to grasp the deeper ground of the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Must I listen more? Must I grow more? Learn more about myself, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the problem with me? Or is the problem with the fellowship? It may seem like it is difficult to get light here, but then there remains the text of the message. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us strive for that, to receive what the apostle heard and saw, his witness, and to walk in that light, patiently, expectantly. And then we will find that we also end up having fellowship with the apostles. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we realize that? I have fellowship with the apostles. I have fellowship. And with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit. And in that way, we have fellowship, true fellowship, with one another in the truth. Amen.